Vamatziya daf mem vav. We're starting from a few lines up in the bottom of mem hey amid beis. We're in the middle of the sugya of matbea natsa chalipin. We know that coins, currency, typically pay for things. When they pay for things, you're not going to the merchandise. The way it works with kinyan of metathlon is that you do a mashiach on the metathlon, and then that's what locks in the buyer to pay. But the question is whether or not matbea, whether or not coins can be used as instruments of chalipin. If they make an exchange, if you barter with money for something else, and you're exchanging the money for another item, then does it work? So the Gemara now says, Amar papa, even according to the opinion that a coin cannot be used for a chalipin, what that means is taking the coin cannot affect that the other person owns the other item wherever it is. It means that the coin cannot affect chalipin, but it can be mikne by chalipin. Coins can be acquired through chalipin. So meaning if you're exchanging coins for another kli, so if one person takes that other kli, then the coins will become acquired wherever they are. They could be acquired through chalipin. They just cannot affect chalipin. Why do we say such a thing? If they can be included, they could be included, right? So what was it yesterday that we learned? That the Torah says, by chalipin shlaf ishnala, a person takes off his shoe. So maybe the money wasn't like shoe, because money is something which the coin, the image on the coin, which is what makes the coin, can become obsolete. So if you say it one way, you should say it the other way. If it can't affect chalipin, then it certainly shouldn't be acquired as well. So what's the reason to distinguish? Just like fruit, according to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman later is going to say that the instrument of chalipin has to be something that's like a shoe, like a kli. And therefore he says that fruit cannot be, cannot affect chalipin. So just like peir of nachman, avgav deinu lo avde chalipin, it just means that they can't affect chalipin. Actually, make them a chalipin. They could become acquired through chalipin. And then this comes from the Gemara later on. Daf Mzayin, Rav Nachman agrees that non kalim could become acquired through chalipin. So tivanam lishna, so two coins can be the same, even though it cannot be the instrument of chalipin, but it could still become acquired through chalipin. Coins cannot make chalipin, but they could become acquired through chalipin. Meizfe, we have a kasha for the Mishnah. Open, but let's say a person is on the threshing floor and he wants to be put to his meiser sheni fruit. If he didn't be other most, he doesn't have coins. So let's just understand, when a person is put to his own meiser sheni, then he has to redeem the value onto coins, but he also has to add an additional fifth. When you're pulled to someone else's meiser sheni, you only have to be pulled that face value without adding a fifth. So a person's at the threshing floor, he wants to redeem meiser sheni, he doesn't have coins in his hand. If he had coins, he would give them to his friend and say, okay, take my coins, and you be pulled the meiser sheni for him so that he wouldn't have to get out of paying the fifth. But he doesn't have money to give to his friend. So what does he do? He only has money at home. So what is he trying to do, basically? He first wants to be kona his makna, the money that he has at home, over to his friend. So he tells his friend, first of all, these fruits that are here are given to you as a gift. And now, obviously, it has to be a friend who's going to realize that even though he belongs, he owns the fruit now, it's all just a tactic of getting out of the paying the extra pinion now. So he gives it to him, and he says, these fruits are a gift. But Chosev Amar, now the original owner says, that they are redeemed on the money that I have back in my house. So now, ironically, right, the giver of the gift, after he gave the fruits to his friend, he's being bought from his money, so he's not the owner anymore, so therefore it works. So okay, so time of the Mi'ah the most, we see that this whole thing is because he doesn't have the money in his hand. Yishbi'ah the most, if he would have the money by him, then he would just transfer ownership of it to his friend through Mashiach. That would be the better thing. The better thing would be to give the coins to his friends, Uparik, and let his friend redeem it. If it's preferable, Avali Nachri, then it's clear that the one performing the redemption is an outsider. In other words, people assume that the owner of the Ma'aser Sheni produce, you see whoever owned the produce, he's more of an owner than the one who owned the coins. So if in the way that the mission was dealing, because he didn't have the coins, he had to give the fruit to the other guy, and then he was both there with his money, that really looked like trickery. Whereas it would certainly be a better way, if he had the money on him, just give the money to his friend and allow his friend to be put that way. So yeah, if you say a coin can be acquired through chalipin, even if you didn't have the money on him, why didn't you just let the coins in his house transfer possession to his friend through a kerchief? In other words, let his friend take out a kerchief, give it to him, then they'll say, in exchange for the kerchief, you become the owner of the money that is in my house. And then, let his friend redeem the meiser sheni. Once I see that it's preferable, let his friend do the pinion over him. So the whole problem was that he didn't have the money on him. No problem. Let him be makna his money that's in his house to his friend by exchanging it for a kerchief. His friend will give him a kerchief, and now will become the owner of the coins that are in his house. Says the mother, Leslie Soder. It could be that his friend did not have a kerchief on hand, so therefore they didn't have a kli on them that was suitable to do chalipin. Really, coins in the house could become kona b'chalipin, but they just didn't have it. They just didn't have any kli kalim on them to make the chalipin with. Says the mother, Nikola Agav Karka. Why don't you transfer it? Agav karka, there's halacha that you could be kona metatlan agav karka. Stam, a new question. Even if chalipin is unavailable, why don't you make him the owner of land? If you make him the owner of land, Let's say he gives him a piece of the threshing floor, three kilos of chazaka on it, and they say, we're grouping together that in this kinyan is not only on the threshing floor, on the karka of the threshing floor, but also when you do this, you should be kona the coins as well. And then, agav, the karka is being kona, be kona the coins. So let that work. Says more to less the karka, he doesn't have land. Says more, omid bagorin, they're in the threshing floor. Clearly, the threshing floor is land. It's his land. How he doesn't have land? Says more, we're going to shenah shalot. It's not his threshing floor. Says the Gemara problem. Let's go through such extent and to teach us something for a naked person who has nothing. Meaning, what's going on? We're making all these akintas, the lands he doesn't have, and there was no soder here at hand, and that was why we were stuck. It seems ridiculous that the Tana is talking about such a crazy case. It must be these things were available, and still, what we're saying is that the Tana was trying to tell us merely that they did have a soder at hand, but they couldn't use the soder to be kona the coins, and that was the novelty that the Tana was trying to teach. Or else, the Tana is not really teaching us much of a novelty. We see from here that you cannot use a soder to be kona coins. Coins cannot become the acquired item in a kinyan chalipin. The Gemara says, Rav Papa Hadabe. Rav Papa himself was closer, and he rules that coins cannot be acquired through Chalipin. Where do we see this? Rav Papa had 12,000 dinars that were deposited with someone in the town of Bechuzai, meaning, and he wanted to get his money back. To get them back, he transferred them to the possession of Rav Shmuel Bar Acha through the threshold of his house, meaning, Rav Shmuel Bar Acha was going to Bechuzai, and he was willing to be back Rav Papa's money. But they were nervous that the person who was holding the money wouldn't give it to Rav Shmuel, because if it would be lost en route, then he would still be liable. For Rav Papa was transferring the money to the possession of Rav Shmuel, so that basically he would be collecting his own money. And then obviously he's trusting him that he's going to come and collect the money and give it to him. So how does he give him the money that he does that he owns in that other place? Rav Papa is transferring it to him through Kinyan Agav. He's selling to be koned the money by Chuzai, Agav Karka, that he's doing by Rav Papa. So the fact that he did Agav Karka and he didn't just do it with a Kinyan Soder, it must be that Rav Papa doesn't hold anymore that money could be acquired through Chalipin. Because if it could be Chalipin, they would have done Chalipin. They wouldn't have done such a complex Kinyan like Kinyan Agav. He also, Rav Shmuel came back with the money. Rav Papa was so happy that he went as far as Tavach to go meet him. He went out to go greet him, so happy that his tactic had worked, how to get the money. Again, the way he made the money is because he made his agent the actual owner of the money, and then the agent was kind of collecting the money on behalf of himself. All right, now we go back to the earlier discussion that we spoke about between Rav and Levi. If a coin is a valid instrument of Chalipin, so too Ula says, "Ein matvein as a Chalipin, coin cannot be used as an instrument of Chalipin." These views as well, Amaram, they hold that it cannot be used to make Chalipin. So now the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Is there Rav Abba Ula? We see a price. If someone has donkey drivers and workers are asking him for their wages or at least food in the market, and he doesn't have. So Rav Abba, he tells a money changer in the market, give me a dinner's worth of copper coins and I'll provide them with their needs. I'll bring you in return not only a dinner, I'll pay you back, but also we'll add an extra traces, a small coin from the coins that I have at home. So basically, it sounds like he's doing interest, right? He's borrowing money he needs in the spot, and he says, I'll give you back to you. I'll hit you back plus a little bit more. If he has those coins at home, it's mutter to make that arrangement. Because then, it's not ribis, it's not a loan, just the money changer is becoming the owner of those things right away. If he doesn't have the coins at home, usr, it's usr, because then he's borrowing on interest. If coins cannot be chalipin, then it's always a loan. Even if he has the money at home, it should still be usr. If coins can be kona through chalipin, then that's the pshat. I'm not borrowing money, we're just making an exchange. You're giving me these coins now, and in exchange, you're getting more coins that I have at home, so you're becoming the owner right now, there's no halva. But if you say that coins cannot be nikta b'chalipin, there's no exchange going on. It's just that I'm borrowing money and I'm committing to pay back more money. So that should be forbidden. So the Gemara says, Ishtek Ula was silent. He wasn't able to answer Rav Abba. So Rav Abba tried to give an answer. Rav Abba said, Duma idi prozi yishoda to legal la tiva. Maybe the bride is talking about a case where both the coins of the money changer and the employer are just like discs, like meaning there was no stamp on them. They were not talking about currency. Therefore, they're considered produce rather than money. They could be called a khalifa. Meaning, when we're talking about having these monies, we're not talking about monies that have this, like currency. Currency is what we said. The problem is that everyone's das is only on the image, and that's a problem because that can become obsolete, and khalifa can only be done with things that have intrinsic essential value. What the Gemara is saying is that here we're dealing over here when we talk about, we're not, even though it says malls, we're talking about unminted ones, just discs, and that can be okay. I'm late. So I'm late in. That is in fact a good answer. Dekanami, you see that in the Brisa's language. It's not a yafa dinner treza. It says yafe dinner, worth a dinner and a treza. So it's not a dinner yafa treza. It didn't say a good dinner and a treza. I mean, no, we're dealing with unminted discs, not minted coins, and that's why it can work. Rav Ashi Amar Lo Mitami Protzus. Really, we could be dealing with payment and copper discs. But Kimin De Islay, since the employer has money in his house, Nasak Omar Alvini Ashov Bini Ashov Zemavteach. It's as if he said, "Lend me until my son comes, or lend me until I find the key." Meaning to say that it's only Osir to borrow money, and pay back more, but you don't have the money currently. But if you have it, if you're good for the money, you have it currently, then you could do that, because then it's just you're just using it temporarily until, like, a case where my son comes until I find the key. The whole Isra verb is, the Gemara seems to be saying, it's only a case where he doesn't have the money. Then it's a full legitimate borrowing. But as long as he has the money, even if the lender, so to speak, is not acquiring the money on the spot, he Taka has to be paid back with it later. It's not nikta b'chalipin, but still, it's not a violation of ribis as long as it's in his possession at the time. Now, this seems like a very, very hard comparison, because here you're really getting back more, right? That's the problem. The case in the Gemara, is where you're getting back the same amount, but we're just nervous that the price might fluctuate. Here you're really getting back like extra coins. This is very bothered. It's really such a hatter in ribis to borrow and pay back more, and just because you had the coins at the time, but that's what it seems at face value the Gemara would be saying. All right, now we see, continue to talk about, could a coin be a valid instrument for Khalipin? Tashema. So we look at a Mishnah. So this is a Mishnah in Kedushin. It's a tricky language. It says, Kol anase dama b'achar, anything that's used as money for something else. So Pasha, what that means is money. Whenever you're using money. Why? Because money is usually used as payment for other things. That's the Pasha Pshah. Kol anase dama b'achar, when you're using money as an exchange. Kimin shesachaseh, once one party takes the money, and then the buyer has responsibility for the item that's offered in exchange for the coin, meaning that the transaction has taken effect. So what does that mean? What's used as payment for something else? It means a coin. So Pasha, what it means is that as soon as you use a coin as a means of exchange, you give it as an instrument of chalipin, then the other party acquires the other item, wherever it is. We see that the coin can be used as an instrument of chalipin. That's the Pashup Shah in the Mishnah. Anything that's nas dama b'achar, anything that's usually used for payment, once I give it as an exchange, I give it over, so then the other party owns the other thing, wherever it is. This is really what the Mishnah is saying. Whenever something is usually assessed before being used as payment for something else, meaning anything assessed other than a coin. A coin, you know what the value is by looking at it. You know how much it's worth. But something that needs assessment, meaning anything besides a coin, once one party takes possession of it, and the other party becomes responsible for the item offered in exchange. Meaning, we're not talking about a coin in the chalipin. We're talking about other things besides for coins. Kol anase dama b'achar means anything that requires assessment before usage. It's logical, like that's the ripe shot. Look at the end of that very Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ketzad, illustrate the rule of the beginning of the Mishnah. And what does the Mishnah say? Someone's exchanging an ox for a cow or a donkey for an ox. So once one party takes possession of the first animal, the other party has responsibility to the other one. Shmami, no, what do we see? We're discussing chalipin through movables, not a coin. Right? We're illustrating with animals. We're not illustrating with coins. Says the Gemara, according to what we initially thought, that we were talking about coins. My Ketzad, what did we think about the continuation of the Mishnah? We thought that the Mishnah was saying a new law. Besides for coins, produce as well can affect chalipin. Meaning that's a novelty, because even though it's not kalim, there's a machlokas if you could use non-kalim for chalipin. So we're saying not only do coins work, but also payri work. So now the Gemara realizes, well, wait a second. We're saying either it's coins that we're saying are making chalipin, like the initial interpretation, or it's the animals that are making chalipin. But either way, says the Gemara, this is all good only like Rav Sheshes, that produce can affect chalipin, even things that aren't kalim. According to Rav Nachman, he says it has to be like shlafish nalo, like a shoe. Only a kli can be used for chalipin, but produce cannot. My ketzad. What's the illustration in the Mishnah? Clearly, the Mishnah is illustrating the kinyan of chalipin with non-kalim. So the Gemara has to defend Rav Nachman by reinterpreting the whole entire Mishnah. The Mishnah is not talking about kinyan chalipin. Kinyan chalipin actually requires kalim. The Mishnah is not talking about kinyan chalipin. The Mishnah is talking about kinyan of damim, when you're paying for something. And remember, normally we say, when you pay for something, paying does not acquire the merchandise. Rather, taking the merchandise obligates you to pay. So however, there are times when monetary payments will be just as effective like a kinyan chalipin. Meaning that by paying, there is an anomaly. When we're paying for something, it could be konet. What is the anomaly? Ketzad, hechlev demei shar, beparo demei chamar b'shar. Someone's exchanging the monetary value of an ox for a cow, the monetary value of a donkey for an ox. So what is the case? So Rashi explains that the case is as follows. First, somebody sold an ox to a buyer for 100 dinar. So the buyer was cornered the ox with mashicha, but he hadn't paid for it. So there's a debt. He owes the seller 100 dinar. Then the buyer says, instead of me giving you 100 dinar, what I will do is I'll give you a cow worth 100 dinar. And that, instead of you paying for that, that will be nisgabel as instead of my debt. So if the seller agrees and he says, keep the money that you owe, then the transaction is finalized immediately. No one can go back on it, even though no mashicha was done to the cow. So again, let's go over the case one more time. Hechlev to make shar b'par to make hamar b'shar means that first there was an act of selling between the ox buys and an ox is switched. The buyer is koneh the ox. He did a mashicha, but he hasn't yet paid for it. He owes him 100 dinar. The buyer then says, instead of me paying for you, let me just sell you a cow. And before a mashicha and a cow is done, the seller agrees to this idea. So basically, he is paying by selling him a cow. That is what's happening. So instead of the meicher is canceling the debt by agreeing to accept a cow instead of money. Really, the buyer should be paying him for the ox. He should be paying 100 dinar for the ox. The seller is agreeing to be mochel, to pardon him for payment of the ox by agreeing to take a cow instead. As soon as that agreement takes, that is automatically on the spot. He is koneh the cow even before he took it. What's the pshat? My time at Rav Nachman. What's the reason? Why is this different than paying any other time? Normally, when you pay for something, you're not koneh until you take it. So why here are you koneh the cow just by mochel his debt? Says the Gemara, Safalak Rabbi Yochanan, the Meretz Torah, Thomas Moskow. So here we get back up, we get the background to the sugya. By Torah law, really paying for something, according to Rabbi Yochanan, would be koneh. By Torah law, if you pay for merchandise, even before you take the merchandise, you own the merchandise just by paying for them. And what's the source for that? Pinyon Hektish. Pinyon Hektish, you pay for something, and as soon as you pay, you become the owner of it. So really, that's what Rashi says. Just like Konam and a Hektish, for Nasan a Kesef a Kamlo, as soon as you give money in place of the holy thing, you're the owner. So to really, we would learn from that in general, Kinyan Kesef, as soon as you pay for things, you're the owner of them. We don't have Amar Mashicha Konam. Why did the rabbi say that you're not Konam until you do Mashicha? The answer is, concerned that the seller might tell the buyer that your wheat was burned in the attic. Imagine a case where someone is buying wheat. So he's already paid for the wheat, but he hasn't picked it up. If the buyer, is already the owner of the wheat, and then the seller sees that a fire is coming, he's not motivated to go sell it, to go protect it. He's not motivated at all. So he's going to tell him that the wheat that you already bought and paid for and you're the owner of was burned in the attic. And therefore, we want instead to say that even though you paid for it, you are not the owner of it until Mashicha is done. And now the seller is motivated to go put out the fire to protect it. Why? Rashi says he's motivated because if the price would fluctuate and wheat might be worth more, you might be able to back out of the deal and make sure he gets a better price for it. So bottom line is, we want to make sure to protect against that scenario where a buyer already paid for this wheat, he hadn't picked it up, and a fire is coming. We want the seller to be motivated to put out the fire. So therefore, since the whole concern is a derabbanan, and milzul shulchan derabbanan, normal paying, the rabbanan made exam, milzul shulchan derabbanan, irregular payings, the rabbanan never where goes around. So meaning in normal kinyakasa, where you take out money and you pay for it, there the rabbanan said it's not koneh. But if I have an anomalous form of kinyan kesef, like over here, where you're, instead of giving money, what's happening is that the mocher here, he's pardoning the buyer by from paying his debt. That's how he is paying for the cow. That's basically what he's doing. By being mochel you from paying for your ox, that's how I am giving you money for your cow. So that's a very irregular form of money, right? Not taking out a dollar and giving it to you. I'm being mochel what you would have to pay me for the debt of the sale of the ox. And instead, that's the way that I'm purchasing the cow. So that's an irregular kinyan kesef. An irregular kinyan kesef, the rabbanan were not gozer on. Even though the reason might apply, but the rabbanan were not gozer only on normal money, says the Gemara. That's only the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. That Mashicha is midaraisa, meaning that money is not koneh metalkalin by Torah law. Need to do a Mashicha. Have to do a Mashicha. That's a Torah concept. So if that's a Torah concept, that's good if he holds. So now, how is he going to learn? He can't learn like Rabbi Yochanan. That since the only Rabbanan Muslim Shikha is Rabbanan, because by him it's a Daraisa, the Mashiach is Kona. So canceling debt certainly is not going to be Kona. So how does he learn the Mishnah? So we wanted to learn it was Kinyan Chalipin, and either it was money or it was Peri, but that's going to depend. If Reish Lakish holds like Rav Sheshes, then we go to Matasuk Rav Sheshes, then we're talking about Chalipin done with produce. You have Sabak Rav Nachman, the Peri Chalipin. But if Reish Lakish would hold like Rav Nachman, that Peri doesn't make Chalipin, and Reish Lakish holds that money does not acquire, even in unusual circumstances, like we just said, Eichmann Taz, Isaac, and Olin, the Mishnah. And the Gemara concedes, Al Karchach, your Rav Sheshes mitaretz. So you're forced to say that Rav Shlakish is going to learn the Mishnah like Rav Sheshes. So we're talking about chalipin, and he must like Rav Sheshes that peri avdi chalipin. So the kids are, we have a Mishnah in Kiddushin. Tough Mishnah. What does it mean? Initially, the Gemara thought it means that money can be used as an instrument for chalipin. Another pshat is that anything which is assessed in its value can be native of chalipin, like peri. Or it can be talking about kinyan chalipin, but kinyan of kasef, and it's going like Rabbi Yochanan. Irregular forms of kinyan kasef can be kone, and that would mean something like canceling debt. So the Gemara now continues. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Kamatalan Kone says that all movables require one another. From Rish Lakish, what does it mean, all movables? Afilu kis mali mos. Because mali mos, even a purse full of coins, exchange for a purse full of coins. So what's that case? If two coins, one party is taking one purse, and then the other transaction is final, and the other one owns the other purse. So clearly we see coins can be used as chalipin. Says the Gemara, Tikmar of Acha, but dinar anka va nigra. We're talking about anka and a nigra dinners. Achash basos umachos. One is the type that the government disqualified. Achash basos medina. One is where the people in the region disqualified. The people refuse to accept it, but it's technically legal. So we're not talking about real currency. Real currency is not even chalipin. Here we're talking about metal coins that aren't acceptable as currency. Utsricha, why do we have to mention both types of disqualified coins? The Ashman of Salto Machos, if you talk about the case where the government disqualifies it, I would say only there is it considered to be not currency. Mission Blue Saga Cloud can't circulate. It's against the law. Also Medina, but if it shows that the people don't use it, Saga Medina Zachrini, maybe in another region people would accept it. Ema Katimat Beya, maybe it's still considered currency and it can't be used as an instrument of Khalipin because Ainmat Beya Nikdim Khalipin. The Ashman of Basul Medina, if you only talk about the case where the region disqualified it, maybe there's because of the people in Shasaglo, it's in Lofasia. It can't be used, whether it's in the open or even in secret. Malchus, where it's just the government disqualified. Sagla, but Sina, where it circulates in secrecy. Ima akati matbehu. I would say that's still considered currency. And you know, even though it's against the law, but it could still be used in secrecy. Maybe therefore it's still chalipin. Tzricha was necessary to say that any type of disqualified coin could in fact be acquired through so any type of disqualified coin could be used for chalipin, but again, regular, normal currency cannot.